And now, with that, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you today's keynote speaker. Griffin McElroy is a successful podcaster, a writer, a composer, and most importantly, a member of the Marshall family. Griffin is a Huntington native, a product of the Cabell County Schools, and he graduated from Marshall University in 2009 with a degree in journalism. Simply put, Griffin is a funny dude. His sense of humor, coupled with his remarkable writing talent, has put Griffin on path to early career success. He and his two brothers make up the comedy trio for a highly popular podcast, My Brother, and Me. He has appeared on network television, on late-night comedy shows, and even more impressively, was named the Forbes 30 Under 30 list in the media category in 2017. He was also honored by our Alumni Association that year as the Outstanding Young Alumnus. I am pleased he is with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome home Griffin McElroy.
How do you do, fellow young people? If you're an adult who doesn't know who I am, my name is John Green, author of New York Times best-selling novels The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns. No, actually, I'm Griffin McElroy, and I make enough stuff on the internet to sort of cobble together into a pile that one could charitably consider a job. I'm a proud son of Marshall. That is how I introduce myself at parties. And though I no longer live here, I do try to serve as a good ambassador for the whole state of West Virginia. Except Morgantown, am I right, guys? They can burn! I attended the W. Page Pitt School of Journalism and Mass Communications from 2005 to 2009, a whimsical time where one might rub elbows with Matthew McConaughey at the local Quiznos, an era during which they redesigned our dear mascot, Marco, and made him super buff and kind of hot for some reason. Like, it's not my thing, but Google it. Objectively speaking, that was a good-looking bison. Today, as your commencement speaker, I plan to eschew commencement speech-giving ceremony by not giving you advice about your future. And to illustrate why, I would like to ask you all an extremely trite question, which is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And before you answer that question, I want you to think about the last 5 years and maybe appreciate why I don't feel quite qualified to tell you about your future. Like, looking at the last 5 years, any answer to that question other than battling Terminators in the cyber war comes off as a little bit naive. You'll never actually be able to see yourself in 5 years due to the infinite array of variables standing between who you are now and who you're going to be. But here's the thing, and this is sort of the thesis statement for my presentation today. Yourself in 5 years can definitely see you now. Now, I operate daily with a level of anxiety that my therapist has characterized as, whoa, that's a lot of anxiety. So I don't want to leave you with this specter of your aged self just hovering above your shoulder, silently condemning your every word and deed. After all, it's your special day, and you don't deserve that. But I would like to make you aware of the fact that you are probably doing that to the poor, ignorant wretch known as yourself 5 years ago. And if you don't believe me, real quick, think about your fashion choices in high school or middle school, if you want to go back that far. Yeah, there it is. There you go, right? What were you thinking? From 7th to 11th grade, I clad myself almost exclusively in the finest of polyester bowling shirts, oftentimes tucked into semi-formal khakis. I was no stranger to a cargo short. Indeed, we were embroiled in an intimate and meaningful relationship. For one semester in high school, I wore goggles I had purchased from the Hot Topic upon its grand opening at the Huntington Mall. These were fashion goggles, by my estimation. I owned a newsboy cap, and I often wore it backwards. In college, I would look at these old photos of myself, and with the wisdom I'd unlocked in the intervening years, I'd chuckle with superiority. I would laugh and laugh, all while wearing the world's stinkiest corduroy jacket and sporting a pair of sideburns that went all the way to the ground. I make these jokes fully cognizant of the fact that in spring of 2027, I may look back on this beard I'm trying to grow with righteous condescension. But there is an inherent danger to that sort of retroactive shame, and it is this. The more you disavow past versions of yourself, the more you try to purge them from your memory, the harder it's going to be when it's time for you to figure out who you really are. And I'm no longer talking about cargo shorts. I'm talking about when you have to take a look in that deep, dark, truthful mirror and try to figure out, am I a good friend? Or am I a good person? Am I really trying as hard as I can right now? Am I actually happy right now? And maybe you've never been visited by that particular brand of introspection, but I can pretty much guarantee that you will someday. And when you experience that level of self-doubt, you have to ask yourself, am I going to have something to show it? How many of you, when you first, if you dated in college, with your first college relationship, when talking about your dating history, said something along the lines of, oh, but that was high school stuff, that didn't count? And how many of those same people, when you first dated in high school, when talking about your dating history, said, oh, but that was middle school, that didn't count? Now extrapolate that out to every facet of our social and professional and behavioral and artistic and philosophical and physical and just every part of our lives. And we're all doing that all of the time. When the truth of the matter is, and this is what I hope you'll think about today while you fly like so many beautiful birds from Marshall University's nest, the truth of the matter is, it all counts. Life is a cumulative thing. There's no facet of your personality that just spontaneously appeared out of the ether. You like what you like because of what you used to like, and you behave the way you behave because of how you learned to behave. There's a causal relationship between who you are now and who you used to be, even when who you used to be wore socks and Crocs every single day. I can't tell you about your future, but I can tell you that your past is not inert. There is so much power and so much self-confidence there that you can tap into whenever you are able to look back at your life without judgment. Once you can appreciate that, yeah, the bowling shirts weren't my best look, but I'll be damned if I wasn't thrilled every time my mom came home from the consignment shop with what Macklemore would later go on to describe as a come-up. These memories bring me so much joy now and so much self-assuredness, and there are not nearly as many of them as there should be, because my memory is complete garbage. And I genuinely believe that the biggest contributing factor to that is the erosive effect of feeling like the last part of my life didn't count, and the next part is the only part that matters. And the more you live like that, the more you voluntarily forfeit memories that I swear to God you're gonna wish you had at some point. In my senior year of high school, my mom, Leslie McElroy, got sick, and she died the night of my senior prom, which I attended at her behest. And it was the worst thing that ever happened. And it was a horrific loss that I still think about every single day. But despite the fact that I think about it every single day, I don't remember my senior prom. And I don't even remember my high school graduation. I don't remember most of my last semester in high school or the summer before I started here at Marshall. Because of the shock and trauma of those last few weeks of high school, I don't remember some of the last days I had with my mom. And I tell you all that not to bum you out on your special day. I tell you that because, yeah, with enough effort, you can force yourself to forget about just about anything. But when it comes to forcing yourself to remember, you do not get any such guarantee. Especially good memories. Our brains are so much better at recalling in great detail negative memories than they are at recalling positive ones. And that's evolutionary. That's a feature, not a bug. So I want to leave you all with one practical thing today. It's a technique I read about somewhere, but I can't remember where, but please don't hold that against the effectiveness of the technique, because I think it works really well. Today I want you to take 15 seconds where you focus on nothing but the moment that you're living. Maybe when they call your row to the front and you're a couple folks back from getting your name called, look at the folks around you that you know and think about the best day that you had with them. And think about how comfortable robes are, and why aren't we all wearing robes all the time, exactly? I wrote that before I put this regalia on. It's actually not that great. Think about the hardest thing that this school ever required of you, and how you didn't think you were going to get it done, and you did anyway. And think about all of that, and think about how it makes you feel for 15 seconds, and then let it go. And with any luck, that memory will be there for you when you need it. Congratulations. Thank you all very much.